Bunch today. It's good. You heard me when I said rejoice. It's wonderful. Fantastic. Well, I don't know about you, but I'm excited. I'm excited to hear the Word of God. I'm excited to hear what the Holy Spirit has given to Pastor Dan. So would you stand with me as we welcome Pastor Dan to come and give the Word today?
Amen. Come on, would you just close your eyes this morning? Father, we thank you for your Word today. We thank you that heaven and earth will pass away, but your Word never will. We thank you that there's life in your Word. There's power in your Word. We thank you, Lord, there's healing in your Word. And we thank you, God, for all that you're about to do today. Speak to us, we pray, by your Spirit, in the mighty name of Jesus. And everybody said, amen. Amen. Before you grab a seat this morning, would you give five people a high five and say, you're looking good today. Wonderful. So good to have you here. Man, can I just tell you that we have had the most incredible season here in Forward Church Logan, that throughout Christmas and New Year's, a time traditionally when churches are quiet, our campus continues to grow and continues to move forward in the name of Jesus. Come on, anybody else excited about the fact that God is changing lives and God is doing some powerful things today? It's wonderful to have Pastor Ross and Diane in church. I love what Kevin said a little while ago when I announced that Pastor Ross was preaching down on the Gold Coast. He said, that's a short retirement. It's fantastic. He thought he was retiring. He was actually refiring. And just wonderful. So, and I hope you've had a great, great Christmas and a great new year. How many people ate too much? A few honest Christians in the place. And we had the most amazing, amazing time. And I know God's got some incredible things for us in 2019. I'm looking forward to school starting again. My kids have been on school holidays since the end of November. November. Not December, November. I mean, you know, my kids go to a private school. The more I pay for school, the less they go to school. I'm thinking about putting my kids in public school, so at least I'll have all the way till Christmas Eve for them to go to school rather than having them at home for 4 weeks. And I mean, I remember going to school right up until Christmas Eve. Anybody else remember that? Yeah, a couple of you. And so I'm excited about it. They go back to school next week, and then the parents are going to have a holiday, and it's going to be absolutely amazing. Hey, it's great to have Tan and Armini, who are great, great friends. Could we just welcome them to Forward Church Logan? Great to have them here. And it's absolutely amazing. The other exciting thing that's happening here right now in Logan is that our internship program begins on Tuesday. And in fact, we began with a retreat just this past weekend. And I'm excited because there are six interns from Logan. Six Forward Church interns. Yeah, somebody ought to give God some praise for that. And across the board, across the church, we have 20 Forward Church interns. And a whole bunch of those are going to Bible College. In fact, we're going to be launching Bible College, Forward College, here in our Logan campus. And that's going to begin on the 20th of February, I think it is. And so if you know, in your heart, you're feeling like, you know, you want to go to college, it's not too late to sign up. You've got one more day. You can sign up by the end of tomorrow. And in fact, we had someone literally sign up this morning. And so it's not too late for you. If you're saying, look, I want to go to college. I want to grow in God. I want to take faith to the next level. You can do that. And that'll be absolutely amazing. Everyone say amazing.
Amazing.
Amazing. Well, here we are, 2019, and I believe that we're about to embark upon the greatest year that we've ever had. And I'm declaring for you and your family that God is going to pour out his favor. God is going to pour out his blessing upon your lives like never before in 2019. For those who don't know, 2018 was the year of favor. Everyone say favor.
Favor.
Say it together. One, two, three.
Favor.
One more time. One, two, three. See, there's power in agreement. When we come together and agree upon God's word, there's something powerful that happens. And in 2018, I mean, we had miracle babies being born. 2018, we had people gifted homes. Gifted homes. We had just, you know, so many incredible things in 2018. And I believe that 2019 is going to go to a whole nother level. And if you believe that, shout, oh yeah. This morning, I want to share a message for you, with you, out of the book of Matthew chapter 6 and verse 33. Matthew chapter 6, verse 33. If you have a Bible, turn there. If you don't have one, it's going to come up on the screen shortly. Matthew chapter 6, in fact, you know, really what we should say, you know, if what we should really say is pull out your smartphone and look at your Bible on your smartphone. Matthew chapter 6, verse 33. And as we begin this year, I want to share with you a passage of scripture that literally has guided my entire life. It has been the keynote scripture, if you will, in every decision that I've ever made when it came to relationships, when it came to work, when it came to, you know, whatever God was calling me to. This particular passage of scripture has guided me through every decision. And Matthew chapter 6, verse 33, we're going to read it together. It says, but seek first. Everyone say first.
First.
Everyone say first. But seek
first
his kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things shall be given to you as well. Let's read it again. Such a good passage. But seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things will be given to you as well. If you're making notes, the title of my message this morning is simply this: the power of first. The power of first. I want you to know that whatever is first in your life has power in your life. The power of first. Everyone say first. There is power in first. Recently I was bored, and so I was flicking through my Facebook feed. Anybody do that when they're bored? You just flick through the feed. You know, don't even know why you're doing it. No, a lot of you shaking your heads. You have no idea. Yeah, pray for your pastor because he needs deliverance around Facebook. But anyway, so there I was one day. I was watching this clip on Facebook. And I was watching, take this the right way, but I like watching, funny clips, funny ones. And in particular, I like watching funny ones about Asians. Because that's just really funny. I love all my Asian family. In fact, you know, my original descendants are from Asia, so I'm speaking about myself. But I love watching it. And this particular one, I was watching this group of Asians. And what was happening was that there was this guy, this funny guy, who saw this crowd of people, and they were walking towards the escalator. The escalator's there, and there they are over here. And he's watching this group of people who are walking. Now, this group of people who are walking, they were on their way to work. They were distracted. You know, they were watching their phones, and, you know, they were talking to each other. And so what this guy did was that he jumped in front of the line with all of these people behind him, and he started to walk. And what was happening is that all these people who were distracted, all these people on their phones, just naturally started to follow the guy in front of him. They didn't know who he was. They didn't know what he was doing. But he just happened to be first, and so they happened to follow. And so there he was, and this guy who's walking. And the escalator's there was the funniest thing ever, because you've got this whole group, and he walks slowly, so the bigger crowd gathers behind him. And he's getting to the escalator. He gets to the escalator, and there's an upward escalator and a downward escalator. So this guy decides to walk not to the upward escalator, but to the downward escalator. So there he is, and he's got this whole company of people who are following him, and he walks to the escalator, and he starts to walk up the escalator that is coming down. Well, what happens is he starts to walk there, and of course he's not going very far, but you wouldn't believe it. Everybody else who was behind them on their phones all of a sudden backed up and bumped into the guy who was going up the downward escalator. Well, I want you to know that I laughed for about half an hour, and it's amazing. I probably watched it about 10 times and laughed again. But here's the point. The guy who was first had all the power to lead all of those who were distracted and all of those who weren't really watching what was happening, all of those who were kind of going in a different direction, they were being led astray by the guy who was first. And the guy who was first, or what you do first, will determine your destiny in life. And if you believe that this morning, somebody shout a good, oh yeah.
Oh, yeah.
It was a joke. But truth be told, there are many of us who are just blindly following people, and they're not leading us towards God's best for our lives. You can tell a lot about a person by what they do first. What do you do first when you wake up? Hopefully you brush your teeth. Maybe not. But you can tell a lot about a person what they do by what they do first. What do you do when you hear bad news? What do you do first? Do you go to God or do you go to people? What do you do when you hear good news? Do you go to God or do you run away from God now that God has blessed you? There are many people, by the way, I've been a Christian, I've been a pastor for 20 years, and I've seen many people who have come into the house of God and give their lives to Jesus, and they God heals them and the Lord makes them whole, but then all of a sudden they meet a girl in church and then they go away from God. You think, how on earth could that possibly happen? Here's what's happened. God wasn't their first love, and they decide to follow relationship first. But what happens when you come into money? Is God the treasure of your heart? Or do you go off and do other stuff? What you do first has power over your life. What you do first will shape the outcome of your life. Doing new things at first, by the way, are always a challenge. It can be challenging. But if you put first things first, everyone say first things first.
First things first.
But if you put first things first, then your life will go in an upward trajectory towards God's best for your life. What you do first. Every day after school, my kids come home, and after a long day at school, they come home. When they walk in the door, you know what the first thing is that they ask for? They ask for an iPad. Yeah, my kids want an iPad. I'm like, why do you want an iPad for? And because I'm a smart parent, I don't give my kids any iPads until first they have done their chores. True? And then after that, do your homework. And then after that, make something nice for dad to eat. And then you can have an iPad. But why do I do that? Because I just know that first things have to come first. I just know that you can't give them the treats and the rewards before making sure that they do the work. And I want you to know that your Heavenly Father is the same with you. There are people in this room who've been praying to God, God, give me the iPad. God, give me the iPad. And the Lord is saying, no, 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 just start to serve in church. Lord, give me the iPad. No, no, no. Just start to love on people first. Lord, give me the iPad. No, no, no. I want you to go and make some food for your pastor. That was a joke. But when we put first things first, God blesses your life. And there are three things that I want to share with you this morning about things, ways that we can ensure that the power of first is operating in your life. Number one, seek God first. Breakthrough thought. Thank you so much for coming to church today to learn that breakthrough thought. Seek God first. Well, it's real easy to, like, we all know it, but how often does that principle actually deviate from our lives? Not seek God second, not seek God third, but seek God first. In Exodus chapter 20, verse 1, it says, I am the Lord your God who brought you up out of Egypt, out of the land of slavery. You shall have no other gods before me. Literally, that word gods in the original language means love or passion. You shall have no other love or passion before me. If God is in your life, but he's not first in your life, then he's not the God of your life. Somebody shout amen today. If he's not number one priority in your life, then he's your savior, but he's not your Lord. He saved you, but he doesn't just want to come and offer you grace and healing and hope. That's like base level. More than that, he wants to guide your life and he wants to shape your life and he wants you to be blessed as you put him first in your life. So seek God first. How do I do that? I make sure, I'll go into that in a little bit. Number two, after seeking God first, give God your first. Give God your first. Leviticus 27 verse 30, a tithe of everything from the land, whether from grain from the soil or fruit from the trees, belongs to the Lord. It is holy to the Lord. It is set apart for God. This passage, I want to encourage you, is not just about finances. It's not just about money. This is not a money message. This is about everything to do with your life. Give it to God first. What does that mean? Give God the first of your thoughts. How about waking up in the morning instead of saying, oh, good God, it's morning. Say, good morning, God. Give God the first of your thoughts. Hey, give God the first of your time. Does God get the first of your time, or does God get the leftovers of your time? Does God get what's best of you, or does God get what's left over of you? Give God the first of your energy. Come on, somebody. I was glad when they said to me, let's go up to the house of the Lord. In fact, the Bible says that when you have Christ in your life, you burn with energy. I love the fact that in this church, you know, with respect, we've got a lot of gray hairs in this church. I love that because the gray hair does not determine the level of passion. In fact, what does not dissipate the level of passion? In fact, those who have gray hair in this church, I found to be incredibly passionate about God. And all the gray hair said, amen. Amen. Passion. Hey, give God the first of your gifts. The first of your gifts. What are the things that God has gifted you with? How has God gifted your life? If you give those things to God first, then God will bless your life. Deuteronomy chapter 14, verse 23. This is a great passage of scripture. It speaks specifically about tithing, but the principle is the same for everything. The purpose of tithing or putting God first is to teach, the purpose of tithing is to teach you to always put God first in your life. I want you to know today that God wants to be first in your life. I was sitting down at a conference recently and a couple of young men came up to me and they were like interns at this church. And they said, you've been a pastor for a few years. I said, yeah. And they said, well, you know, what's the key? What's the secret? And I just simply said, number one, just keep saying yes and keep putting God first in your life. Did you know that the quickest way to success in God is to be obedient to everything he said? Say yes to God. Someone say yes.
Say yes.
So we want to give God our first. How do we do that? I want to encourage you this year in 2019. Give God the first of your day. Before you pick up your phone in the morning and check your Facebook feed, pick up your Bible and read God's news feed. Wake up in the morning. Don't put, you know, for Rattini and I, you know, we've had to make decisions that our phone, because our phone's just going all the time, our phone can't be next to us. We've got to put our phone like on a table. And instead, what we have next to our bedside table now is journals and Bibles. Because I don't know about you, but man, God speaks to me a lot when I'm sleeping. I get some of my best ideas at night. So our daily time, before you pick up your phone, begin every day with God. If you're a night person, that's okay. I am too. But there's something powerful when we give God the first 15 minutes of our day. Hey, give God the first 15 minutes of your day. 5 minutes in the Word. 5 minutes in worship. 5 minutes in prayer. If you gave God the first 15 minutes of the next 365 days, can you imagine how different your life would be? If you gave him the first 15 minutes of this entire year, 2019, I promise you this, friend, you won't even recognize yourself. You'll be a totally different person. God will bless your life. The second part, thank you for that, amen. The second part of giving God your first is give God the first of your week. The first of your week. What does that mean? It means make Sundays not the last day of your week. Make Sundays the first day of your week. Sundays are the beginning of the week. Sundays is the first day of the week. Can I tell you, you will have a far better Monday to Friday if you put Sunday first. If you have a great Sunday, I tell you what, you're going to have an amazing rest of the week. But Sunday is not the last day of the week. It's not the day, oh, wake up on a Sunday morning. Should I go to church? Should I not go to church? Oh, no, it's raining. Oh, no, it's too hot. Oh, no, I don't know who's preaching. Oh, no, the music's too loud. Oh, no, here we go again. No, 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 no. If Sunday's the first day of the week, you don't wake up in the morning and consider it optional. You wake up in the morning and say, as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. My children don't wake up on a Sunday morning and say, Daddy, are we going to church today? No, no, no. It's not optional. Because we begin the week on a Sunday in the house of the Lord. The Bible says in the book of Genesis that in the first 6 days, God created the world, heavens and earth. He created land, vegetation, animals. He created everything in 5 days. And then on the sixth day, he created man. And then the Bible says that on the seventh day, God rested. God rested. Check this out. The seventh day for God was a day of rest. But for man, it was the first day. Some of you missed that. Let me try that again. God created the heaven and earth and man in 6 days. And then on the seventh day, God rested. But man was born on day six. And the very first day that man entered into in his existence was the day of Sabbath. The day of rest. In other words, for man, day one is the day of Sabbath. For us, day one in our week, the first of our week, is not Monday, no longer a Monday, never again a Monday. It's a Sunday. We need to go and create some forward church calendars. Weeks don't begin on Monday, weeks begin on Sunday. Hey, can I tell you that if after 52 Sundays, that you were in the house of the Lord and your children were in the house of the Lord. Can you imagine what God would do in your family if you were here committed every Sunday? The first day of the week is the Lord's. How about the first day of the month? The first day of the month. For Ratini and I, we spend the first day of our month scheduling our month and looking at our budgets. For Ratini and I, we have this family calendar because our family's busy. We've got this family calendar. The whole month we look at it. Okay, what are we doing this month? And then within that, Ratini and I, we've been married 16 years this year. Every year, without fail, I mean, there have been very few instances where we haven't done this. But every year since we've been married, we have had a date night every week. A date night. Just put in a date night. I know what it's like. It's too busy. Yeah, it is busy, but if you put it in the calendar, it happens. So for us, every week, I want to encourage you. If you've been married here, it doesn't matter how long. In fact, the longer you've been married, the more you should practice this. Take your wife, take your husband out on a date. Take them out on a date. There's a whole lot of women nudging right now. A whole lot of men, not that pumped about the fact they came to church this morning to hear this message. But hey. Why do we do that? My kids, they're like, why do you guys go on dates all the time? Why can't we come with you? Well, that's because one day you won't be here. Hey, you're not going to be the center of a whole world. Obviously, I love my children, but my children are second priority to my wife. And the best way that I can raise my family and give them security and give them a sense of stability is making sure that their mum and dad are in love with each other. Amen. And let me say this too, as your pastor, I want you to know that this call of pastor is second to the call of husband. 100%. Second. You know, there are going to be times where I just need to take my wife out and we just got to be husband and wife together. Amen. And so we do that. I want to encourage you to do that. Couples do that. You know, organize a babysitter. Hey, church is a great place to find babysitters. Because you can find babysitters for free in the church. Get some babysitters. Hey, sow into your marriage this year. Sow into your relationships this year. We begin with the first of the month. Let's just look at the month and just see how that's tracking. And we want to make sure that we're on track for ourselves. God first, each other second. And then we make sure that our budgeting's sorted. And the last way we can put God first. Just put God first in our year. In our year. And as a church, beginning Monday the 4th of February, we are about to embark upon a 21-day fast. That's usually the reception I get when I talk about fasting. When I talk about feasting, everyone's like, yay! When I talk about fasting, everyone's like, oh. But hey, I want to encourage you this year, if you've never fasted before, to join us in this 21-day fast at the beginning of 2019 and set the year apart and believe God that God is going to pour out his blessing upon your life, upon your family, and upon your children in the name of Jesus. And you've got to get more information about that and every day. Yeah, come on, somebody give God some praise for that. Yeah. Man, I tell you what, powerful things happen when people pray. The Bible says some things don't move except by fasting and prayer. For some people in this room, you've been believing God for a breakthrough for years and you haven't had it. Well, I'm going to believe that when you fast during this 21 day of fasting, that God's going to break through in your life. 21 day. We're calling it fast forward. Got some genius in charge of marketing around here. 21 day. Fast forward. And point number three. So number one, seek God first. Number two, give to God first. And number three, expect God to increase in your life. Expect God to increase. Proverbs chapter 3 verse 9 says, honor the Lord from your wealth and from the first fruit of all your produce. So then your barns will be filled with plenty and your vats will overflow with new wine. I can promise you this, friends, that if you put God first in your time, you won't have less time, you'll have more time. That if you put God first in your thoughts, you won't have fewer thoughts, you'll have even greater and higher thoughts. If you put God first in your finances, you won't have less finance, you'll have more finance. In fact, there are people in this room and you've been believing God. In fact, there have been things that have happened to people in this room that have robbed you. And maybe if the keyboardist could join me, and maybe you've been saying, God, I've missed it and I've missed the boat and things have happened and I'm never going to get that back. The Bible promises us that he's going to restore the years that the locusts have stolen. Come on. Has anybody had anything stolen from them? Anybody had anything stolen from them? Well, anybody about to be restored by Jesus in terms of increase to your life? God's going to add years. When you seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, all of these things shall be added to you. This morning, my beautiful daughter Nicole is here in church this morning, and almost most Sundays Nicole wants to come with me to Logan, and I said no, go to Gold Coast with your mummy. But you know, every Sunday, my children, and I'm grateful for the fact that we have the kind of church where our children are not pushed off to the side somewhere in the back, but our children are central to everything that we're doing. That our vision as a church is to create life-giving churches that empower generations. So there I am, and I'm sitting there, and standing there today, and my daughter Nicole, she's at the front here, along with all our other children, just praising Jesus. Oh, there you are. Just praising Jesus. And as a dad, there's no money you can get that's better than that. There's no car you can drive that's better than that. There's no house you can live in that's better than that. I came with nothing. I will leave with nothing. But there's one thing I know, that no matter what happens to me now, my children, I may not be able to give them many things, but one thing I do plan on leaving them is a legacy of followers of Jesus. But I want you to know something. I wasn't the first. Up on the screen there, there's a photo of a man. And his name is Ben Masters. He was a Presbyterian preacher. And he was adopted out of his birth family. His birth family weren't grounded in church and weren't grounded in Christ. He was adopted by another man. He was a reverend, and he was adopted by this reverend who brought this man up to be a man of God. And then at the age of 19, he went to Bible college. He had 11 children. Yeah, they didn't have TVs or Facebook back then. And actually, they'd had children before he went to Bible college. And when he went to Bible college, he had a daughter. And her name is Coulda Firth, or Coulda Masters, now Coulda Firth. And Coulda Firth is my mother. And so, Ben had a daughter named Coulda. And from a young age, all of them had been raised in the house of the Lord. And then Coulda had a son. And the way we were raised very religious. It was a very legalistic environment. You know, it was the kind of environment where you had to wear a shirt and tie, black pants, nice leather polished shoes. You could not go to a church in jeans. If you tried to walk into the church with jeans, they would kick you out. Such was their love. Women, when they came into the church, you couldn't. Women had to wear hats. They had to wear hats. Anybody remember that? Oh, yeah, great, great, great. You had to wear hats. And so I remember growing up in a household with all of these hats everywhere. And the awesome thing is that if you turned up to the church as a woman and you didn't have a hat, it was all good. Because they had hats there waiting for you. But the smart ones, they wanted their hats to be color coordinated. Of course, you can't have a white dress with a bright green hat. No. So the smart ones bought their own hats. But if you didn't have a hat, it's all good. Because the church, the deacons are at the door waiting for a hat for every woman. Because somehow the perception was that God was interested in what you looked like on the outside more than what was going on the inside. But it started with him. And then it came to my mother. And then it came to me. And here I am today. Come over here, darling. Come over here. And here I am today. I'm the happiest dad in the world. Because my children love the Lord. And my children love the house of God. But here's what I want you to know. All it took was one person to do it first. And the Bible says that actually we will receive an inheritance at which we will rejoice. An inheritance at which we will rejoice. Can I tell you? You don't rejoice in an inheritance unless it's a good one. True? If you had a millionaire uncle and he left you a $10 inheritance, that would not be a rejoiceful inheritance. Well, the Lord promises that He's going to leave you an inheritance that you will rejoice in. What does He mean by that? You've got such an inheritance you don't even know about. You're going to make such an impact you don't even know about. There are going to be people who are blessed through your life that you don't even know about. My grandfather, bless his soul, has gone to be with Jesus. He doesn't even know that here now, in 2019, that he has a great granddaughter who is standing at the front of this church worshiping Jesus because of a decision he made some years ago. Come on. Thank you, darling. And maybe you're here today. And maybe you did. You came from a Christian, you know, heritage and Christian family. Maybe like me, you came from a legalistic one. Truth is, I knew all about God, but I didn't actually meet God until I was 21. And maybe you're here today and you're saying, "Well, there's no one in my family that are Christians. I'm the only one. I'm the first one." Well, I want you to know today that you could be the first of many who will come to Him. So right across this room. In a moment, we're going to pray a prayer. And I want to pray for two people today, two groups of people. The first group of people I want to pray for today are those who don't have a relationship with Jesus, a relationship with God. You couldn't say that you know Him personally. You couldn't say that you have your own relationship with God. Maybe you know of God like I did, but you don't know Him personally. I want you to know the creator of heaven and earth wants to step out of eternity and into your heart and into your life today. Maybe even you once knew him, but you walked away from him. Friend, today, in a moment, I want to pray for you. And today would be the prayer. And you would pray this prayer, I'm coming home, Lord. Today is the day that I'm coming home. And the second group of people I want to pray for today are the group of people who are looking to say, yeah, I'm going to be first. Yeah, I've come from a lineage of alcoholism and this and that. But I'm putting my hand up because I'm going to be the first that's going to say, Jesus is the Lord of my life. And I will declare like Joshua did, as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. Maybe you're here today and maybe you've grown up in church like I did, but you just couldn't say it, that Jesus is first in your life. Then in a moment, we're going to pray, and I want to pray for you. And I believe that the heaven, the creator of heaven and earth is going to step out of eternity and into your world. The Bible says that if you draw nigh to him, he will draw near to you. In other words, you just, in a moment, we're going to pray a prayer, and all I'm going to ask you to do is lift your hand. And as you lift your hand, you're taking a step towards God, one step towards God. You know what? God takes 1,000 steps towards you. So if that's you, all over this room, in a moment, when I count to three, lift your hand and say yes to God. Would you close your eyes and bow your heads? If you're here today and you don't know Jesus, and when I count to three, simply lift your hand and say yes to him. If you're here today and you're saying, yeah, I haven't put God first in my life, but this is the day I'm going to put him first. Maybe you're here today and you're saying, look, you know, I don't have anyone in my family that's a Christian. I don't have anyone that I know that is a follower of God. But today, I'm going to be the first. I'm going to be the first of many. Then in a moment, I want you to lift your hand when I get to three. All I'm going to do is count to three. And when I get to three, lift your hand and say yes to a new beginning. Yes to a whole new legacy. Yes to a brand new day. One, you don't know Jesus. You don't know him as your Lord and as your Savior. Maybe you once knew God, but you know today you're not right with him. Two, maybe you're here today and you're saying, yep, I don't have anybody else in my family that is somebody that I can follow. But I will be the first, and there will be many that will follow after me. One, you don't know Jesus. Two, you're saying, I need to get right and I need to be first. Three, lift your hand all over this room. Quickly, high in the air, I'll see it and you can put it down. Right across this place, right across this room, front to back, left to right. Yep, I see those hands. Lift your hands high, right up in the air. God bless you. God bless you. God bless you. Others, join these amazing people and say yes to God. Say yes to a whole new chapter, a whole new destiny, a whole new life. Make a decision today. God is going to be first. He's not going to be the tack on. He's not going to be the optional extra. He's going to be number one in my life. And that as you do that, the King of Heaven, the King of Majesty, will come and bless your life. Two more seconds looking across this room. One more second looking across this room. Thank you, Jesus. With every eye closed, every head bowed, we're going to pray this prayer. If you lifted your hand, I want you to pray this prayer from your heart. The Bible calls that faith. Say, dear Lord Jesus. All together, say, dear Lord Jesus. I thank you that you love me so much. You died on the cross and rose again to forgive me of my sin. From today on, I'm putting you first. Number one in my life, in my heart, in my mind, in my decisions. I'm putting you first. And I thank you that you will add to me and you will add to my family in the name of Jesus. From today on, I'm yours and you are mine in the name of Jesus. Father, thank you for every person who prayed that prayer. Thank you for every person who right now is cemented in their heart that you, Lord, will be first. That, Lord God, that we displace worry, we displace fear, and we place you at the center of our lives. And we thank you, God, for all that you're about to do. We're expectant for 2019 and all that you have for us. We thank you for all of this in the mighty name of Jesus. And everybody said,
amen.
Amen. Come on, can we just put our hands together for these amazing people? For these amazing people. Amen. And in a moment, Pastor Mel's going to come. She's just going to share a few final notices. But I want to encourage you in 2019. Make that decision at the beginning of the year. I'm putting God central, number one in my life. My whole life is going to exist for one thing, and that's to seek God first and seek His righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto me. If you believe in God's going to bless your life this year, give Him a great big praise all over this church.